Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And today's guest is Jeff Starbird from Lurie Besikoff Lapidus & Company, a large Twin Cities accounting firm. Hello, Jeff. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure can, Tom. I'm Jeff Starbird. I'm a partner in Lurie Besikoff Lapidus & Company. Our company's been around since 1940. I have not been there that long, but I have been there a good 30 years a couple weeks ago. I went to St. John's University up in Collegeville, Minnesota, and then I attended William Mitchell Law School. And I practice primarily in the tax department, but I do a lot of consulting for small and mid-sized businesses and entrepreneurs.
And you joined the firm how many years ago, Jeff?
30 years.
30 years. Congratulations. You're a partner over there. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the types of entities that businesses should consider when they start.
Exactly. That's probably one of the most common questions I get. We have a lot of people this time of year. This is March 20th right now, and we're right in the middle of our tax season. So it gives us an opportunity to meet with a lot of the clients. And just in the past week, I had two of the clients that came in, and they said, you know, in this kind of economy, I'm thinking of starting a consulting business. So what type of entity should I be? And that's a very common question.
We see a lot of accidental business owners. They started something in the garage or the basement and didn't even consider an entity. And there's plenty of reasons why they should, aren't there?
Exactly. One of the basic types of entities really isn't an entity, but it's operating in that consulting business as a sole proprietor. And a sole proprietor is an individual who operates either in an office or out of the garage. And that income... the taxable income is reported on their Form 1040, which is their individual tax return. And that sole proprietor not only pays income taxes like a regular company or corporation, they also pay Social Security taxes. And if you're self-employed as a sole proprietor, you pay self-employment taxes. So there's still all the taxes involved. There's really no tax savings in that, but they choose to operate as a sole proprietor.
Well, when you're starting a business, you really should sit down with your accountant and with your attorney and talk about some liability issues and what you're going to do with the business and what type of business it is and where you're going to go with it and try to deal with some of the exposure that might be there from a liability standpoint. Is that correct?
Exactly. And that's the reason we want to talk a little about some other entities that most people may have heard of. Types of entities would be corporations, which we're all familiar with. On the corporate side, though, there's a entity called a C-Corporation, which is a organization that the company pays taxes. Now, most of us have probably heard of an S-Corporation. A S-corporation is a regular corporation that's established under your state law or another state's law, but it makes a tax election, and that tax election is what is called an S-election, and it allows the business to elect to be taxed not at the corporate level, but to be taxed individually. And that is called a pass-through entity. And what that does is an individual, our consultant, who incorporates, elects to be treated as an S corporation, now reports the net income of that company right on their personal tax return.
Well, this is all sounding a little complicated, and it's going to get more complicated before we're done, Sam. But let's go back to this liability issue. If I'm a consultant and I have an office and I have some clients come to visit me and it's wintertime and they slip and fall and break a leg, I potentially can be sued because they could say I didn't maintain the office properly. And if I'm a sole proprietor, they can probably sue me personally and get at my personal assets, as opposed to if we form this corporation, then you've got some protection with the corporate entity. Is that right?
Of course, Tom, anybody can sue anybody. It's whether you win or lose. But yeah, that's what these entities do. So a lot of the entities we have, the second type of entity is limited liability companies. And that is similar to a corporation, which has some protected liability. So in your example, if somebody is hurt by your business or visiting your business, the lawsuit against your business would or should be, if done properly, limited to the assets of the business. Now, we all know a lot of consultants, and you know, they may have a briefcase or a computer. So if you have somebody now suing you because of that, and they can only take the assets of the business and not sue you personally, obviously there's a great benefit there.
So you protect those potentially protect those personal assets from that kind of lawsuit.
Yes, exactly.
As long as you're acting on behalf of your corporation or your entity.
Exactly. And there's some very stringent rules you have to follow in order to make yourself act like you really are a corporation or an LLC. You need a separate checking account. Use your business cards. You have to put LLC on them. So the people that are dealing with you know they're not just dealing with Tom Lyons. They're dealing with Tom Lyons Corp or Tom Lyons LLC.
So when I sign any documents on behalf of my corporation, I sign them Tom Lyons, comma, president, so they know that I'm acting on behalf of the corporation.
That's a great idea, Tom.
Well, I'll thank my attorney for that one. It's pretty good advice.
But so a lot of these entities, and when that person comes and asks me, you know, they think there's some tax implications for these, and there are, but there aren't really a wide difference. And I think one of the primary reasons for looking at some of these types of entities is the limited liability and to protect the personal assets of the individual.
Now, if I'm a service corporation or service company versus a product company, which one is there a better choice? Because as a service company, your assets may be limited to computers, desks.
Yeah. Now we're not giving. We'll probably leave this for the law firm topic. But generally, there can be some differences for service organizations. It's very hard to protect yourself from your own inaction as a consultant. A lot of the things we're trying to protect from, which is the simple example that Tom had, somebody comes in and falls in your office. But there are a lot of laws, very complicated laws that apply to, for example, professionals, to CPAs. We can't, as a CPA firm, get rid of advice we give personally by having an entity. But if someone trips on my doorstep coming to visit me, that may be something that we can limit personal liability. So that is a very complicated area. But many of these pass-through entities provide the same type of legal protection that would help in that type of situation.
Okay, so we've got a couple issues if you're starting a business or just forming a business. One is you've got some liability issues, and number two, you've got a choice of entities that you can use from a C corporation or a C corporation with an S election or a LLP, a limited liability partnership, or a limited liability company. There's a lot of choices to make.
There are. Let me just talk briefly about the differences with some of these entities. A C corporation is a corporation that the company pays its own tax, has shareholders, and in fact, you know, these can be the large public companies that you see that have thousands of shareholders. So there's no limit on the number of shareholders you can have. It makes it easier to raise money because you can go to the well for more people. An S corporation has some requirements. In order to qualify as a pass-through entity, there is a limited number of shareholders. Now, for most of our businesses, that limit is now 75 shareholders. So most of our business don't have 75 shareholders. The types of shareholders that an S-Corp can have are limited. Just generally, they must be individuals rather than companies or partnerships. They must be individual shareholders. The S-Corp requires that you only have one type of stock, one class of stock. So you may have heard of preferred stock before. In common stock, you can't have preferred stock. And so there are restrictions like that, but that works well with most of our people. And in your consultant example, that would work great. You've got one shareholder, you get the liability protection, and you get the income on one level. Now, when I talk about past serenities, what is the difference between having the income reported on your personal return versus the corporation? And that is a big distinction, because one of the detriments to being a regular C corporation is a concept of double taxation. And how does that work? That works if you have a C corp and you have taxable income, which is not always the case in this economic time, but let's say you have a corporation that does. The corporation is going to pay tax, and let's just say it's 40% between state and federal. That leaves 60% in the pockets of the, in the checking of the corporation. But we already said we had shareholders, and assuming most shareholders would like to get some of the money they put in back, they would like a share of those, that net income. The way they do that is usually a dividend. When that dividend comes out, it's not deductible to the C corporation, and the individual shareholder who now gets that dividend pays a tax personally for it.
So you're paying corporate tax, and then you're paying individual tax on the distribution as well.
Exactly. So that is why when we talk about past serenities, that it is sometimes or many times advantageous to have the individual pay the tax, and they pay the total tax on the income personally, but when they take the money out of their LLC or their S-Corp, they don't pay a tax a second time. They've already paid the tax.
So that entity files a corporate return, but all the taxes are reported on your personal tax return via K-1.
That is true.
Okay. We've seen a lot of service corporations that are still C-Corps, but essentially they can operate that way because they empty them every year. They pay out the earnings and avoid most of the corporate tax anyway. But today, most of the corporations we've seen have done a subchapter S election, and it seems that most of the new entities are LLCs as opposed to C-Corps.
That's true. The LLCs came about in the late 70s, and LLCs are really taxed under the code as partnerships. Partnership and corporate S-Corp tax have a few different rules. But what I like about LLCs is the flexibility you have with an LLC. Remember some of the rules or limitations I told you about for S-Corps, the number of shareholders, the types of shareholders, the requirement to be individuals, to only have one class of stock. Partnership taxation allows much more flexibility. One of the big things with LLCs and partnerships is the ability to do special allocations. Special allocations of income or deductions, as long as they have something called substantial economic effect, meaning you're just not, there is some basis for the deduction and why it's going to a certain person or a partner or LLC member, is that you can move some of the income around based on certain parameters. One of those parameters might be that one person put in money to the LLC to run the business, and the other person may be the operator of the business. So why shouldn't that person who put in the money, they might want their money back first. So it allows that partnership or LLC to pay that person back with a rate of return and then share true profits on a different ratio. So it's flexibility.
So the distributions from an LLC don't have to be necessarily in line with the ownership percentage, whereas Subchapter S, if they're making distributions, they're generally exactly in line with the ownership percentage. Is that right?
That is very true, and that's a requirement.
Okay.
So, and if you don't do it that way in an S corp, you lose your S election and you're back to being a C corp.
And back to double taxation.
Back to double taxation.
So the reason that they're going to limited liability companies, LLCs now, is because of this increased flexibility and they're easier to operate and live with?
That is very true.
A lot of business owners we see that, you know, they've been in business for some time, they've formed an entity, they've done some things, now it comes time to look at the housing, look at where the business is housed, the real estate. And we see a lot of business owners that nowadays that will put together an LLC to buy the real estate and then turn around and lease it to the business entity. It's one of the really good structures available to small business owners today, isn't it?
Well, it's very true. Whether you're an S-Corp or an LLC, It's usually not the right answer to have the business own the building, to have the building asset. And that gets back to what we talked about before, that liability. If somebody's operating out of their garage and somebody falls in that garage and they sue you personally and the business owns it, they sue both the business for your assets and they come after you for your garage. So that's fairly simple, but most of our clients, you know, have their own buildings, and they should buy it in a separate entity. An LLC is very good for owning real estate. It's much better than an S-Corp for owning real estate for various reasons. And what that provides is that if somebody sues the business for a product defect and comes after the business, that hopefully will protect the
real estate entity
from a person who's been hurt from going after the building too. So we can protect that. So what we recommend to a lot of businesses, you always keep separate property in a different entity.
So the business essentially is still paying rent, but they're paying rent to an LLC that might be owned by the business owner, and the business owner is building some value because he's paying down on a mortgage. And a lot of times what we see when we go to sell a business is that if they've got the business in one entity and they've got the real estate in another entity, we have the choice at that point to sell the business with or without the real estate, and maybe sell the business subject to a lease on the real estate, and then they can turn around and sell the real estate later. So it's just another part of the wealth accumulation or wealth management for business owners.
Very important for a small business.
Very important, is right. The other issue I think we should talk about in subchapter S is that built-in gain rule. If you were a C corporation for many years and then finally sat down and woke up and your accountant said, let's take the sub S election, there's some gain inside the C corporation unless a period of time has passed. Can you explain that to us?
Sure. A while back, it's probably about 20 years ago, S corporations became more and more important, and it had to do with the double taxation. When you sell your business and it's a C corp, there's going to be double tax. So many companies decided we should elect S corporations. And S corporations, by the way, it's one of the few areas where when there are new tax acts or annual tax law changes, they usually make S-Corps more favorable as an entity. But one of the problems has always been when you decide to elect S and you've been a C-corporation, Tom mentioned the rule about built-in gains. And the built-in gain tax came around. The reason it came around was that because if you sold your business, you'd pay a double tax, many companies or owners of companies argued that, well, we'll just stay a C corporation until we're going to sell it, and then we'll elect to be an S corporation, we'll only pay the one tax. So the government said, we're not going to let you do that. If you want to be an S corporation, you have to be an S corporation for at least 10 years, or we're going to recapture some of that double tax that you would have paid if you sold during that 10 years.
All right, let's back up for a minute now. If you own a C corporation, you're a business owner, you've been in business for many years, now you're going to sell. The buyer's probably going to want to do an asset purchase because his lawyer will say, I don't want you to be liable for everything that seller has done on his watch, so let's form a new entity and we'll buy the assets. At that point, the seller is going to pay tax inside the C corporation, and then when he distributes what's left after he pays that tax, he's going to pay tax personally. That's your double taxation, correct?
That is correct.
And now this 10-year rule on subchapter S election means that if he's made that subchapter S election and he keeps the business for at least 10 years and then sells, then he can get all tax pass-through treatment on that?
Yeah, that's correct. And so that's something we struggle with when we talk to an owner of a C corp. But I think we can get around that. Not only most of the clients I've seen, 10 years goes pretty fast, as we all know. I've had many clients elect S, and that 10 years has passed, and some of them have sold their businesses, and there was no built-in gain. The other benefit is that when you elect to be an S, you look at the value of the business at that time. So if you have a business, for example, a C corp that has a value of $1 million, and if you were to sell that, that's what you would pay the double tax on. But over the next 5 years or 6 years, that business grows to 2 or 3 million. The built-in gain is still only $1 million. You have still avoided double tax on that increase from $1 million to 2 or 3 million. So I argue that it's still beneficial to elect an S, even if you may have that buyer that just comes along and it's just too good to be true, so you want to sell. You don't have to wait the 10 years.
But if you're forced to sell for some reason before the 10 years passes, you're going to get taxed twice, or you're going to get taxed part of it on the built-in gain and the rest of it on the increase in value. And there's some new rules out now that apparently have shortened that under certain circumstances to 8 years. Is that right?
Yeah, the next couple of years, they're looking at companies that have already basically elected at least 6 years ago and have those few years where they're still subject to the built-in gain. But if there is a buyer and they want to sell it now, the government for a short period of time, although we do extend these different provisions every year, will get a benefit from avoiding that potential built-in gain.
So if we have business owners that have C-Corps and they want to make a Subchapter S election, I understand they have to do that in the first part of the year, the fiscal year?
Yeah, they have to do it in the first 2.5 months of a year. So for those folks who already went past March 15th and they have a calendar year, it will be for next year. But
next year,
I highly think that that any owner of a C-Corp should consider that, see if it fits theirs, talk to their accountant, run the numbers, and it's likely that they will be convinced that that's a pretty good deal. Now, the other question I get is a owner of a C-Corp will say, well, that doesn't matter. It only matters if I sell the assets of the company, because if I sell the stock of my C-Corp, I don't have a double tax because the person just steps into my shoes that bought the stock. Well, Tom, you and I both know that there are a lot of problems when somebody gets into buying someone else's company and stepping into their shoes.
Sure, the lawyers will tell us if you buy the stock of that company, you're potentially liable for anything that's happened since the day they incorporated. But there are some tools today that might cause a buyer and his attorney to agree to do a stock purchase if they put in place some tail insurance and some warranties and representation insurance and some escrows and things. But it's very difficult to get that type of transaction done. If a business owner is a C-Corp and he decides to make that Subchapter S election, do you recommend that they do an appraisal of the business to document the file at that time?
That's absolutely a requirement of the IRS. You have to determine that built-in gain. You have to show it every year on your tax return for those 10 years so that if you did sell a business, the IRS would know what your built-in gain was. And when you're audited, you need to prove how you came up with that.
So you do a formal election at the first time, at the first time you
do a formal appraisal.
Appraisal at the first time.
When you do that. One of the other thing I might mention here, Tom, the big thing with pass-through entities, there's a difference between Social Security taxes and self-employment taxes. And I've heard many times that people, rather than doing an LLC, would like to do a S-corporation. And the reason for that is that in an S-corporation, you get wages. And wages are subject to, as any employee, subject to Social Security taxes or FICA. The difference between an LLC and a S-corporation is that those wages, there is a planning tool that many people advocate that say if you make $1 million in your S-corp and you pay yourself $100,000 in salary, you have $100,000 that's subject to FICA, the other $900,000 you don't pay any taxes on. In a partnership
situation, you don't pay Social Security taxes.
You don't pay Social Security taxes.
But it's still a distribution subject to income tax.
In a partnership, you would pay, in most cases, self-employment tax, which is just a different word, or description for FICA or Social Security taxes, on the full amount of the money. So there are arguments that there, if you have a salary in an S-corp, you can avoid some of the Medicare. A couple comments on that. First of all, the salary has to be reasonable. The IRS is very aware of this technique, and you can't start a C-corp and say you're going to pay yourself $100 and the rest are going to be dividends that aren't subject to. So they're onto that game. I've been in Washington many times discussing with the IRS, and they are on that game and they're after people to do that. So that is not the sole reason I've heard as an argument to be an S-corp to avoid FICA.
Now, is that different between the S-corp and the LLC?
It's very different because an LLC, you would consider your wages as called guaranteed payments. And guaranteed payments are the amounts paid out of an LLC that are due to your or your partner's services. That will all be subject to self-employment. There are some rules coming out.
No differentiation between wages and distributions.
There is none. And they're all subject to self-employment. We've been waiting for guidance for many, many years on sub-exceptions to that. But I will tell you, the other thing that's out there for S-Corps, the proposal is to not have a limit, is to basically tax S-Corp earnings, the same as partnerships, so whether it's dividends or not, make that subject to FICA. And that has been a proposal back since the Clinton era. It has never passed, but it is something that may happen. If that happens, there's probably absolutely no reason to be an S corporation.
So these are things they're discussing every year. Is there different treatment on health insurance as well?
Between a C corp and an S corp and a partnership, in pass-through entities, health insurance is considered to be a personal deduction. So it's not deductible on the company level. But I will tell you the good news is that there's a provision for health insurance for self-employed, sole proprietors, LLC partners, and S-Corp shareholders, that they can now deduct 100% of their health insurance premiums on their personal tax return. And that used to not be the case. So that's a big issue for our clients.
And in a subchapter S-Corporation, the health insurance is deductible on the corporate return, right?
No, that's not correct. Actually, that is passed through. S-Corp shareholders are considered to be self-employed for tax purposes, and that self-employed health insurance is deductible on the front of their tax return.
Okay. Well, this entity discussion can be long and complicated, and it sounds like one, if you're setting up a corporation or starting a new business, you need to sit down with your attorney and your CPA and understand the differences in the different types of entities and try to choose one that's appropriate for the business you're starting.
Very critical.
Very important, too. It could make or lose you a whole lot of money on taxes. If you have any questions or comments, or if you need any more information on this topic, please go to todaysbusinessradio.com and click through to Lurie Beskoff, Lapidus & Company. They'll be happy to answer your questions. And I'm Tom Lyons for my co-host Sam Zordich and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. I'd like to thank Jeff Starbird from Lurie Beskoff, Lapidus for being with us today, and thank you for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.